Welcome, friends. Glad to have you here. Lou, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, good. Nice, crisp autumn day outside.
Crisp would be a word, yes.
Yes, a little chilly, huh?
Yeah.
So, go ahead. You were saying something?
No, I think so. I think a chilly is where I'd go for today. Yeah.
Right. All right. So, we were going to do, friends, today, chapter 9, verse 6, 7, and 8. So verse 6 says, as the mighty wind moving everywhere rests ever in space, even so know that all beings rest in me. This is Brahman speaking, Krishna speaking for Brahman. So what that means is talking about the mighty wind resting ever in space, just like we as beings, human beings, animals, all living things, rest in Brahman. Mm-hmm. And remember that previously we've learned that everything in the world is matter, which is then infused with life or consciousness by Brahman. And that matter is made up of five elements, right? We've talked about this a few times before. And each element may be a little bit more or less subtle than the other. Mm-hmm. We talked about these elements being space, water, air, earth, and so on. Of all these elements, this space is the most subtle of all because you cannot smell it, you cannot touch it, and you cannot see it. Mm-hmm. What exists in space? So just so you understand, because at some point we're going to have to talk about this. This is very, very, very important. And at the crux of what Brahman is or who Brahman is. Because space is all-pervading. If you look, the distance, it's incredible. You know, we say the world is 4.32 billion years old. The universe is like 13 billion years old. And we say the distance between from here to the, if there is an end, there's no end. But right. The distance of the universe is measured in light years. Does everybody know what a light year is? The distance that it takes for light to travel, if you were to let light travel, in 1 year, where would it reach? That's considered one light year. I mean, look how fast light travels. And if you let it travel for one whole year, where would it reach? The universe, as far as they know, goes on till infinity, but they've measured it in the terms of like 43 billion light years. Wow. That they know. So you can imagine how vast this universe is. And that's all Brahman. That Brahman recognize that space means the distance between one thing and another thing. Whatever is in the middle is space. It has no quality. You can't touch it. You can't see it. You can't feel. Just like consciousness in our minds. Now, keep this clearly in mind because at some later point, we're going to be talking about the similarity between our consciousness and space and why that is so important. And so when you realize that, you will get a glimpse of what Brahman, what Lord, what God really is. So for now, space is what we're talking about. Now, in space, there are clouds. Now, clouds are not space. Air is not space. Wind is not space. Because if wind travels through some field that has lots of fragrant flowers in it, the wind or the air carries the fragrance of those flowers, and you can smell the air. You can smell the wind. But space does not have any smell. So air, wind has some qualities, but it rests within that space. Without space, that air, that wind cannot move. So just like Brahman is there and we all rest in Brahman, without Brahman, we're not existing. It may seem a little complicated now, but if you can put your arms around this, it will be very helpful as we go on with time. So clouds exist in space. Stars exist in space. Stars, you see a shooting star going from one part of the sky to the next. It's traveling through space, wind, air. Space cannot move. Space doesn't move. It's all pervading. It's everywhere. For 45 billion years or till infinity, space exists. the whole world can be destroyed at some point. 4.32 billion years later, it will get destroyed. But the space remains, the space in which the world is, the Earth is. Brahman is more subtle even than space, because space rests in Brahman. Brahman also is stationary, cannot move. Without wind, without space, wind cannot move. There has to be a cloud, cannot move. Without Brahman, none of us can do anything. So Brahman and the Brahman within us, which is Atman, is subtler than space. It's all pervading. It doesn't move. And everything that does move, that lives, is inside Brahman. The body moves, mm-hmm. right? The yep. mind and intellect moves. After our death, it moves on to the next body. Atman is stationary. So we often misconceive the Atman as moving out of the body like a soul. That's not true.
Right.
Atman is inside us, and outside us is Brahman, like a pot, a earthen clay pot that you dip inside the ocean. There's water on the outside of the pot, water on the inside of the pot. It's just that the walls of the pot make it seem as if there's a difference between the two waters, but it's really the same. Similarly, our body has Brahman inside us. It's just called Atman, but it's the same. Outside is Brahman, and Brahman is everywhere, including in inanimate objects, as well as living objects. So in essence, Brahman is like a movie screen. One analogy I think that I told you way back when that I heard from a Swami on YouTube was that of a white screen on which a movie is projected.
Right.
The screen is motionless. It doesn't move. It doesn't have any qualities other than being white. But the screen remains the same throughout the movie. The movie could have violence in it, laughter in it, comedy on it, colors, but the screen doesn't move and has no qualities to give to the movie. But without the screen, the movie cannot exist. So that's really this verse, which is verse number 6. As the mighty wind moving everywhere rests ever in space, ever even so know that all beings rest in me. So I hope that's clear, my friends. And the next verse, which is verse 7, says, at the end of a kalpa, I'll explain what a kalpa is. At the end of a kalpa, all beings enter my prakriti or nature. At the beginning of a kalpa, I bring these beings forth again. I bring them back. And what this is referring to is the universe that's a pulsating universe in the unmanifest and manifest state. So just like we go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning, at night when we go to sleep, we're unmanifest, our personality is unmanifest. When we wake up, our personality is manifest. Similarly, the Gita says that the whole universe, Brahman, becomes unmanifest and manifest, goes to sleep and wakes up. That period of time, just like we say, we go to sleep for 8 hours, we're awake for the rest of the time. Brahman sleeps for 4.32 billion years and wakes up for 4.32 billion years. When he goes to sleep, everything comes into one small little dot. Mm-hmm. Everything comes back into him. And that takes half of that time, 4.32 billion years. And at the end of that time, when it's time for him to wake up or become manifest, he explodes from that dot, and it takes half of 4.32 billion years for it to keep expanding. And then at the end of that time, it starts to coalesce again and come back into that thing. So it's expanding and contracting the whole time. This is known, what we call it, cosmic evolution and dissolution. So our Earth is 4.5 billion years old. So we don't know exactly when this thing happened, but our universe is 13.5 billion years. And the distance of the universe, as I said before, is like 46.5 billion light years. Mm. And that even then is, we don't know how much further it goes, because it supposedly goes on till infinity. So the night and day of Brahman is every 4.32 billion terrestrial years. These are years measured in Earth's time.
Right.
So the from a dot comes a big bang, it's expanded. Then the dark kalpa, that's what he calls it, a kalpa, from the expanded manifest universe, it comes back to a single dot. Just like us, we are manifest during the day. You are unmanifest at night, but you're still your own original personality, even when you're sleeping, right? You're in the seed form, in the vasana form, that vasana is asleep. That's your prakriti, that's your nature. So imagine that you are a comedian or a musician or an artist, and all day you're making jokes or as a comedian or playing music or drawing or painting. That's your manifest form. When you go to sleep, you're still the musician, you're still the artist, you're still the comedian. It's just that you're not telling jokes while you're sleeping.
Right.
You're in your unmanifest form and you're in your seed form. So what this is talking about is that when Brahman coalesces into that little dot, all the beings, all the life, all the planets, everything is still there in its seed form, its unmanifest form. And at a certain point, it'll explode and come back. They say that we've had many, 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 many more universes than the universe that we are in now. Goes on for many. And this is complicated because at some point you say, well, when did it start? That's a very interesting question. How did it start? How many lives have we had? How many universes have there been before? Very, very right. interesting questions. And there's answers in the scriptures for all of this. It's just very difficult to comprehend because at some point you're saying, listen, this is like a dream. This is all just imagination. This is all just plain consciousness. And that's when you're really getting your finger on the answer. So last verse, which is verse 8, animating my own prakriti or my nature, I bring forth again and again all this multitude of beings helplessly just by the force of my prakriti. Meaning, at some point we will see, maybe in the next lecture, that we all think that every action has a reaction. Every action that we do, every karma, has a phala or a fruit or a result. So you say, okay, well, Brahman is producing all these beings. He explodes from the Big Bang and planets came out and human beings came out and animals came out. So that's an action. What's the result to him? He says, no, there's no result of this because it helplessly comes out from my prakriti, my nature. Just yeah. like the sun produces heat and light, that's its nature. You can't say, well, what result is this karma going to have? Just like a nightingale or a bird sings and songs come out of his throat, there's no result to its nature. That's what it does.
Right.
So I bring forth all the beings. When the kalpa originates from a dot to a big bang, that's the beginning of a kalpa. I bring forth, I, Brahman, bring forth all the beings, means Brahman enlivens the matter. It comes out in the form of all these five elements, earth, air, water, fire, space. And then Brahman enlivens the matter. And all of this is, goes on infinitely in terms of a cycle of creation and dissolution, creation and destruction. And as long as the vasanas are there within us, as long as our karmas are there, they will keep manifesting without consciousness or life or Brahman, the vasanas are unmanifest. So when you're sleeping, for instance, you may not have the thought or the desire of something when you're in deep sleep.
Right.
In the dream state, you might have desire. So the way it works, very, very important for us to know, is there's first a vasana, which is the underlying seed, the desire. That underlying seed vasana creates a thought. This is important. I'm sorry if I've not mentioned this before. I may have. But it's very important for you to listen to, friends. That vasana then, which is inborn in you, has come to you from previous lives. Some people have a great vasana for, say, lust. Other people have a great vasana for money. Mm-hmm. Other people have great vasana for beauty, want to be more and more beautiful. They could care less about power or fame. Now, that vasana is in an unmanifest form when you're in deep sleep. When you go into the dream state, it might start to produce itself. And then a thought occurs in the dream, a small little thought. It's like a small rivulet starting in the mountains in the Himalayas. And as it starts trickling down, this thought, if you allow it to proceed, it starts picking up other thoughts and says, you know what? I could do this, I could do this, I could get this thing, this object of my desire. And it becomes a small little stream. That stream then becomes a bigger stream, bigger stream. All these thoughts then produce bigger and bigger thoughts until it becomes an obsession. And that obsession then becomes a desire. And that desire becomes a bigger desire until you cannot get that desire out of your mind. That desire then leads to further vasanas, because great desires produce for your next life or for the continuation in this life, a great desire, a great vasana, which then is carved into your vritti, which is in your mind, your consciousness. This desire, these thoughts are carved in. And when you die, your body dies, but your mind, your intellect, and these vrittis carry on for the next life. So keep that in mind. So these are vasanas that, and your karmas, by the way, your actions have results. Those actions and results have to be fulfilled. You have to be reborn again in order to get your dues for the good punya that you've done,
right,
and get your punishments for the bad karmas that you've done. So you have to keep being reborn for that. And these vasanas keep coming back again and again. And as long as these vasanas are there within you and your vrittis, they will manifest. And without consciousness or life or Brahman, the vasanas are unmanifest. Now, Brahman says two contradictory things, Krishna says, in here. One is, he says, I have nothing to do with this world. I'm not responsible. I'm not the cause. Meaning, I bring forth these beings. They just come from my prakriti. The exact opposite, he also says, it's because of me that you're able to see this world, etc. So, for example, recognize that if there's a rope and you see it in the twilight and you see it mistakenly as a snake,
yes,
what happens? The rope says, hey, that's not me. I'm not causing you to see me as a snake. That's you.
Mm-hmm.
It's your problem. You're misinterpreting this rope as a snake. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying I'm a snake. You're misapprehending me. It's called misapprehension.
Mm-hmm.
You are misapprehending me, not me. It's not my fault. I have nothing to do with your misapprehension. So Brahman says, you're looking at this earth, this world, Lou and others on this earth, and saying, this is Lou, this is Robert, this is John, this is the earth, this is the space, this is what wind. You're misinterpreting that as the wind and as Robert and as Lou. I'm not just saying that. I'm really saying Lou is Brahman, or this wind is Brahman, or these trees are Brahman. That's your misinterpretation. At the same time, the rope can also say, if it were not for me, you would not have seen the snake. So really, I'm responsible for the fact that you see a snake, right? The exact opposite.
Yep.
He's saying, I am responsible. So Brahman can say, it's because of me that you exist. I give you life. It's because of me you see Lou as Lou.
Right.
It's because of me you see Robert as Robert or John as John. It's because of me you see this earth. So he's explaining that both parts exist. Now, the reason this comes up in this verse 8 is that the Gita's teaching us to see everything as Brahman, instead of seeing yourself or another being as Robert or John or anybody. You have to see it as Brahman. And if you start to notice that everything, Brahman is in everything, then you start to recognize the Atman. It's one further step in your development, in your self-development. So it's like when you're dreaming, you're fast asleep, you're dreaming. And if there was a way for me to communicate with the dreamer and say to the dreamer, hey, do you recognize yourself as the waker? Do you recognize that you're dreaming right now?
Mm-hmm.
You would say, no, I'm the dreamer. Because the very definition of a dream state is that it comes from non-recognition of the waker.
Right. Yeah.
The dreamer wouldn't exist if the waker was awake. The waker has to be asleep. and unaware of the waker in order for him to have this dream. So you don't recognize the waker, the dreamer is there because of the non-recognition of the waker. And that's what projects these dreams onto you. So similarly, because we don't see Brahman, we don't recognize the Brahman, we see everything around us as what it is. Right. But those who are self-realized actually begin to see Brahman everywhere. They wake up, they become the waker, just like the dreamer wakes up and becomes the waker. People wake up and become the Brahman, like Jesus or Buddha or any self-realized being becomes Brahman and then says, everybody is like me. I'm everybody. I see myself in everybody. Mm-hmm. So that, friends, is verses 6-8. And we will continue next time from 9 onwards. Just chapter 9 is a very important verse. It's right in the middle of the Gita, 18 verses. This is the 9th one. And we will continue next time. Thank you very much.